Hello and welcome to the sixth and final episode of the Campaign Can Daily Global Podcast 2024. I'm Gideon Spanier, UK Editor-in-Chief of Campaign, and I'm here with four of my colleagues from our network of websites around the world. Maisie McCabe, UK Editor of Campaign, Alison Weisbrot, Editor-in-Chief of Campaign US, Rahat Kapoor, Editor of Campaign Asia, and David Brown, Joint Editor of Campaign Canada. You were all on the first episode at the start of Cannes, a whole week ago, and we've hosted five daily podcasts. Now we're all back in our respective home markets. So Rahat is in Singapore, Alison's in New York, David's in Toronto, Maisie and I are here in London. So how about three words to describe your festival? Can I start with Rahat?
Okay, I think reinvigorated, because my sense of inspiration seems to be awakened through all of the different creative chats that we had. Elon, I want to say Musk, but then I'll be using up a third word. Elon, because he was the center of attention and the center of the week and was a real highlight. And I think the last one was inspired, even though I've kind of used it in the beginning. I think it was really inspiring to see the different minds come together, to be in a place where we really felt like the industry was present. And I know we like to use that word a lot, but when you're in disparate countries, especially in Asia Pacific, with so many different countries making up the region, I think inspiration from one single source is often rare. So to me, I found the whole experience quite inspiring.
All right, David, I saw you in the press conference all the time. You were working so hard in there, going to press conferences with the jury presidents. Three words from you.
I've got three. I'm a bit worried I'm going to say negative, like the dark cloud here, especially after a hot, because it was inspiring, but my three words are overloaded, but underwhelmed.
Ooh. Punchy.
Yeah, I know. It's because I've got jet lag, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Alison, three from you.
I'm also going to sound like a grizzled Cannes veteran that I am compared to Rahat, who was her first time. cloudy, busy. First cloudy, because we all know the weather was not great. Busy, we all felt busy. And then deja vu, because I don't know, it was my sixth time in Cannes, and it just felt like I was living in the Groundhog's Day. It's the same every year.
Very interesting answers. Maisie, three from you.
I'm not sure if we're going to have a theme here or all slightly disagree, but I think full on, because it's a busy week, whoever you are. Fun, because I had a little bit, which was nice. And then the future, I think, because whether it's about the work or the people there or obviously the commitment to kind of inclusivity and diversity, it sort of sets the scene, I guess, for you in terms of looking to the future and where the industry's going.
Great. Three Fs. They're good ones. So let's give you some headlines with all the big winners from the last day and for the festival overall. And there was a good geographical mix, given this is a global podcast. There were two Grand Prix winners for the Film Lions, Orange and publicist Marcel won for France with women's football, and the Sydney Opera House and the Monkees won for Australia for Play It Safe. Then Vaseline and Ogilvy Singapore won the Glass Lion for Change Grand Prix for Transition Body Lotion, and DoorDash and Wieden Kennedy Portland won the Dan Wieden Titanium Lion Grand Prix for DoorDash All the Ads. Now, there are some company awards which are based on how many lions the agency or company has won over the week. Publicis Conseil in Paris won Agency of the Year for the first time in its 98-year history, helped by two Grand Prix wins for Renault. And Ogilvy won Network of the Year, and parent company WPP won Most Creative Company of the Year. There's some financial numbers from Cannes, and there was a strong increase in the number of delegates, up from 12,000 last year. Now, parent company Essential hasn't given an exact number for 2024 yet, but I would assume that we're talking about 13,000 plus. The reason they haven't is they have to tell the stock market first. So we've got a sense of what everyone's can was like. We'll come back to that at the end and just try and draw sort of themes from our discussion. But the awards are really important. And Rahat and I were both in the Palais for the final night celebration. And Rahat, maybe you could describe the scene for us, because I know the Lumiere Theatre has 2,300 people. So it's a big, exciting space and everyone's in a good mood because it's the end.
Yeah, I think you can feel the energy kind of reverberating against the walls. And I wrote in my blog today that even though the space was so expansive, it felt almost too small for the enthusiasm. Again, going back to maybe my optimism and first year positivity, but to me, it felt like a real collective and a sense of unity. And oftentimes in advertising, everything is about competition. It's about pitching for the same clients. It's about outdoing each other at the best creative work. It's about standing out in a sea of crowded brands. But for the first time, it really felt like everyone was there for celebration as opposed to competition. There was a real sense of kind of maybe friendly rivalry with all of the different awards, but everyone was there to kind of champion each other's work. And maybe this is my naivete of being there in the Lumiere Theater for the first time, but I really felt that sense of kind of kinship. So it was a celebration of all of the things that make the creative industry tick, everything from amazing personalities to great work on display. And I think it was a really well-managed and run event. So I had a really good time, but I'm going to wait for Alison and David to chime in and see if they agree.
I've never been to the awards ceremony. I'm always out of there on Friday morning, like the rest of the people. So
I haven't been in a few years, but I actually do. I actually do think it's a great experience. It is. It's a cool vibe always.
I guess everyone in the room, if I can say this, Raha, is one. I suppose in terms of people know that they've won and that's why they go, if that makes sense. Whereas I guess there's no jeopardy. I don't mean that to criticise or disagree or something, but, you know, all the people there know they've won already. So I guess the camaraderie might come from that a little bit.
And David, what did you think?
I do think there's a genuine sense of the appreciation for the work from creatives, from other great creatives. I you know, the applause feels real, the cheering feels real. You hear people like sort of commenting on the work. It feels very real to me.
So just to add about the ceremony, there were a number of sort of lifetime contribution awards with great acceptance speeches. You had Jack Seghela, who's a, you know, long-standing ad man from France, who's been around for, well, he's 90 years old. And I can tell you, he was so dynamic on stage, going, wow, 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 and lifting up his arms and just full of energy, saying that ideas make money, money doesn't make money. And the audience absolutely loved it. I think he was basically a shot of energy, which you don't expect. Then there was Maria Ressa, the journalist who was the founder of the news website Rappler from the Philippines, who was talking very passionately about the importance of truth and facts in journalism and the threats that democracies under in so many parts of the world. But the evening ends with the Film Lions, which is appropriate because they're considered the peak of the craft, and the jury president was Tor Myron from Apple. So I mentioned already the two winners, the two big winners, the Grand Prix winners, were the work by Orange for women's football and from the Sydney Opera House for Play It Safe. And Maisie, credit to you. We talked about campaign contenders in our first episode, and these were two of the 10, and you picked the two Grand Prix winners in film.
Yeah, no, it was nice to see. Not necessarily the two I was expecting, but I'm not going to say Orange. I think everyone expected Orange to do well. I think that the Play It Safe, the Sydney Opera House film, was a great film. My pick for Grand Prix would have been The Idents from Channel 4, personally. But I'm not on the jury.
to be fair, that got a gold line.
It did indeed. And they picked up two golds in film craft as well. We also included Samacorn, which was a Thai comedic film about a property company that also picked up gold in film. DoorDash, which we chose, got the Grand Prix in Titanium, but I might be jumping ahead of the schedule. The thing with the contenders, we were trying to sort of pick work that was both brilliant in and of itself, but also kind of really aligned to kind of a brand commercial need, if that makes sense. So, yeah, really nice to see that, you know, some of the learned jury agree with us.
So I was at the jury press conference with Tor Myron, and David was also there in the room. And interestingly, I think the French football one, which for people who don't know, features men footballers, and then halfway through it's revealed that actually it's artificial, that these were really women football players, and that's why that was the whole point of the ad. And David, the Tor Myron said this was the best idea for an ad.
He said it was a great idea. He kind of nitpicked The Craft a little bit, said it wasn't the best film necessarily.
Were there specifics about The Craft?
He said the font, the title cards and stuff, like he kind of really got into those details. I was a bit surprised about it, actually. It was my favorite, but it shows you how detailed the judges are, I guess, are in the room.
He was very candid. And interestingly, he said they hardly bothered watching the case studies, which I thought really? Was really interesting.
That seems interesting.
Really?
Yeah, right. It was interesting, too, when later on in the conversation, Titanium president Debbie Van Dieven said, made a point of sort of for the jury, the press room, saying, you know, that's not AI, that's just CGI. Everyone gets so excited about that ad as being so innovative. And she was kind of making the point, it's not that innovative, really.
So this is in terms of the orange ad?
Yeah, yeah. She said it felt like they were just kind of saying it's just basic CGI.
And actually, Cindy Gallup, who was the jury president for The Glass Lion, also said, yes, it was a great ad, but didn't think it was actually really changing a lot, which is why it wasn't considered for Glass Lion.
Sounds like a punchy press conference.
It was. It was really good, I can assure you. It was worth staying for. I think it was really inspiring. Just because they cared about the work a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just a word about Play It Safe. Tor actually was saying he felt this was like a sort of great message for creativity full stop, right? The whole sense of this huge ensemble cast and so on, David.
Yes, it is. And I was thinking that as we were watching it in the room, that this feels right for this festival. And he made a point of saying, he made a joke kind of at the end of it saying, he asked Philip Thomas, he suggested to Philip Thomas that they just send the closing gala with that film.
The ad was directed by Kim Gehrig, who's, you know, arguably the best director of the world at the moment, in one of her breaks maybe from doing Apple ads. But I think it's the craft of that is brilliant, isn't it?
It is. But I've personally, this, I think we're going to talk some lengths of ads. Am I the only one who thinks it goes on about 30 seconds or a minute too long? It's long.
Well, that brings us nicely on to Tor Myron's comments, where he said that he felt, or the jury felt, that too many of the film submissions were too long. He did not say that about the two winning ads.
No.
And he actually described the Play It Safe ad as the best film.
We should say as well that was made by the Monkees from part of Accenture Song. So well done to them.
And I spoke to Tor Myron afterwards to try and just get him to explain a bit more about what he meant. So let's have a listen to what he had to say first.
The body of work that we saw, I think, was really strong. And I think it was particularly strong at the top. And I think as it went down, it was... I don't think we maybe had as many great bronzes and things like that that we have in the past. A lot of great silvers, golds. Grand Prix, obviously, I think speaks for itself. But I think that the one of the things, you know, that is missing is these really, sharp, concise stories that are told in 30 seconds, 15 seconds, a minute even, right? And there just was not a lot of that represented. And what was just wasn't exceptional. And I think that most importantly, and this is not about media, it's not about like television versus online, because we all know that when you're watching pre-roll and things online, it's today's television, you know. And so the people in the world, they just don't have the time to watch long ads, you know. And
your message seemed to be that it was indulgent, that it not maybe they didn't realize it, but these companies making these long form stuff, they're not editing them tightly.
Exactly. Yep. I think the particularly a lot of long documentary style about the brand and I'm talking 30 minutes, you know, and a lot of these were entered. And it just doesn't seem relevant. And we as a jury didn't believe that anyone is going to watch those all the way through. So it's really just about keep it tighter, mostly because you want to grab the audience. You got a very limited time with them, and therefore you got to make your story arc faster. You know, whatever that is, you got to just land it faster.
So that was Tor Myron. And Alison, what do you make of this idea about needing to have better, shorter films?
Yeah, I think it's actually like he's looking at where the industry is going, right? Like all of the entertainment we're now receiving is on short form video platforms like TikTok and Instagram. And I think as much as creatives love to pour their heart and soul into a 90-second, 2-minute film that, like, you know, is the quality of a Oscar winning Hollywood film, I think that we are a commercial industry and, like, this is where attention is going. So it's important to recognize and start incentivizing work that's more short form.
We actually added a 30-second film ad to the big awards last year, so it was a separate category because, yeah, so many of the ads that were sort of entered were longer.
And David, Maisie's already alluded to it. These were quite strong comments. It was actually refreshing to have someone challenging, I suppose, the entrance, whilst still saying that he thought film was in good shape.
Yeah, I thought it was. Honestly, I took it as a bit of an indictment of the industry, to be honest. We all know they like to make that stuff, and we all love watching it, but I just don't know how practical it is. And one of the biggest shifts in the media world in the past year has been the rollout of ad-supported streaming, right? Amazon's got it, Netflix has got ads, Disney Plus has got ads. That's where the world is going into that stuff. And to Allison's point, we don't need 3-minute films. And so if agencies are giving that to their clients, I think they're letting their clients down.
Well, it depends on the client need though, doesn't it? And it depends on how good they are. Like, it's often that you get a 3-minute sure. ad and it doesn't need 3 minutes. And I think there's a place for it, but what they need to do is be putting as much time into the shorter forms as well. Because I certainly know we see it, that you see the cut down versions of ads and they kind of, there's not enough thought gone into how much you can do in a 15 or a 30 second spot. And so what you get is kind of a, you know, an edited highlights version of the longer ad, which isn't a sort of entity and thing in of itself. I think also there can be danger from a marketer's perspective, speaking to creatives about them expecting too much of a short form. Like, you can't do as much with 15 seconds, evidently, as you do with 30 or even, you know, yeah, 60 or 120. And I think, you know, the sort of almost the craft of what you can deliver in a short form, you know, is as difficult as making a long ad sometimes.
It's harder, I think, Maisie. I think it's harder.
Yeah, even applies to journalism, eh?
exactly.
Yeah, I usually say things are better shorter. Most things are better shorter.
So we'll bear that in mind, listeners.
Yeah,
so
podcast too.
The other thing to mention is that the use of humor was a big talking point prior to Cannes. I don't think we actually heard that much from the jury press conferences over the week. But importantly, in film, the Samakorn ad from Thailand, we talked about that, won a gold and was recognized for use of humor, as were Uber and Mother London for Trains. So,
can I make a point on that, if I may? It was interesting. I thought that the jury also gave gold to Uber Trains and a silver to Uber One, because from a sort of UK perspective, the, you know, general consensus is Uber One was the sort of, you know, the standout film. So I thought that was interesting. They're both funny. So
I think Maisie should go on the jury. So Raha, let's move on to the Glass Line for Change Grand Prix. And it was a win for Singapore. And this was a work by Ogilvy for Unilever's Vaseline and Transition Body Lotion. So tell us a little bit about this. And by the way, it would seem to be the unanimous view, emphatic view from Cindy Gallup's jury.
Yes, and I would like to say that I had this one on my contenders list as my top pick. So I would also like to put my hand up to potentially participate on the jury alongside Maisie. All with my 1 year of experience and expertise. I think to Cindy's point, when she was presenting the award, there was a real kind of push this year from what I could see for palpable change and for things that go beyond just being a great piece of creative work, but actually have impact in the categories. And this to me was an outstanding example of that. It was a joint collaborative effort basically created with Ogilvy Singapore, as well as other WPP agencies that were involved in the process, to create a trans-friendly body lotion by Vaseline that helps particularly women in Thailand who are in their transition journey. And for those who are not aware, Thailand is a big transgender and trans community oriented market. So to create not just a bespoke product, but then to also make it part of their everyday line and not just have it as a limited edition thing, and then to also create a great piece of work that goes alongside that, I think overall it was a very holistic example of the impact that our industry can really have on consumers' lives and extends much beyond winning an award. So to me, it was the clear standout in that category and obviously resulted in the win. And it was also the first ever Grand Prix win for Singapore itself, which I think was really interesting and created a new conversation, because I spoke to the Ogilvy team afterwards on the ground on the steps of the Palais to congratulate them. And to them, they said, we hope that this really opens the door for more wins from Singapore and for us to be more present on the global stage, which it just goes to show that whilst these things happen in isolation, in these concentrated moments, they do form some kind of reckoning for the people back home who now get inspired to look and see that they could potentially be them up on stage one day, you know? And so as cynical as it is easy to be in this industry, there is real change that can be affected. And I think this was a great example of that, both from the piece of work and also from what it meant to win the award.
Yeah, that's the last time I saw you, Raha, on the steps of the Palais at like 9:45, where, as you can expect, there's a lot of people very happy doing selfies and with their metal. Let's just give a last word of the big wins, the Titanium Grand Prix, which went to DoorDash. Alison, we've talked about this earlier on in the podcast series, but this was recognizing innovation by allowing you to compete to get all the ads with DoorDash.
Yeah, so this was a Super Bowl campaign. It was interesting. So it was basically a commercial where it showed a bunch of different random items, like a giant tub of mayonnaise and a car and all these random things. And hidden within the ad was a promo code. And the first person to figure out what the promo code was able to win every single item pictured in the ad. So smart, interactive, clever, especially during moments like the Super Bowl, everyone's really trying to break through and have an interactive moment with the audience. So they definitely did that. My question, and I genuinely don't know, is like, what's the follow through? Like, did the person get all these prizes? Did they have to, like, you know, sometimes when you get these big giveaways, like you end up paying more in taxes than like what you would have gotten for the free prize. So I'm just curious, but I'm sure, you know, it all worked out and the guy got his car and his mayonnaise and everybody was happy.
And Maisie, anything to say about the Titaniums, particularly thinking with your UK hat?
Yeah, so McCann London got a Titanium for the Everyday Tactician for Xbox and Microsoft, which picked up a number of awards during the week, including two Grand Prix. So that helped McCann to top our UK table of lions. So congratulations to them.
All of the campaign websites have coverage of all the lions. I should just add that there are some company awards, and I mentioned Publicis Conseil, this agency in Paris, which was the founding agency of Publicis Group in 1926, got the Agency of the Year award, and they were all very excited because actually this is, you know, an agency where all of the previous CEOs of Publicis have run it. That's how symbolically important it is. So Arthur Sadoun has run it, Maurice Levy and Marcel Bluestein Blanchet, the founder. So it's a sort of got totemic importance. So they were very excited. And then Ogilvy won Network of the Year, and they and DDB and BBDO often are competing very fiercely. Actually, this time it was Ogilvy first, then Publicis Worldwide second. And the Ogilvy, you heard, had won for Vaseline, and they won actually during the week. And WPP won Holding Company of the Year. In fact, that award is called Most Creative Company, just to be specific. It used to be called Holding Company of the Year. And so there was a ton of people on stage. I don't know, there's 120 people, but yeah, WPP does employ a lot of people still. They were all very excited. And afterwards, just whilst Rahat was chatting to some of the winners from Singapore, the CEO of Unilever, Hein Schumacher, was at the awards, which is surprising for a global CEO, but he was very pleased because they'd won Creative Marketer of the Year from Cannes. And so he and Mark Reed were holding their trophies together in the back of the Palais. Happy days, at least on Friday. That completes our roundup of the winners. So I think it's a good time for us to just reflect finally on what this festival was like. And I think, David, or I can't remember if it was you said busy, but when it came up earlier on, it was a busy festival because the delegate numbers were up. So last year, delegate numbers rose 9% to 12,000 approximately. And there's been a strong increase this year. As I mentioned, Cannes not actually given the precise number, but I'm thinking around 13,000 at a guess. Then you've got the sponsorship revenue and the delegate revenue, which is up double digit. So even though the award entries were basically flat, the business as a whole was growing, and maybe a figure of 10% is what they've signaled to investors. So that suggests that Cannes as a meeting place is getting more important, if anything. Just as an impression of your whole week, we've had your three words each at the beginning. A good week, Maisie?
Yeah, I think so. It was busy. We had quite a lot of our own kind of, I like to sort of, it's like fringe events, aren't they? Like off-Broadway might be overselling. So we had a lot of commercial partners, so I did quite a bit of that. And then some meetings in amongst. But it definitely felt like in the run-up and during, the biggest post-COVID meeting, if that makes sense. There were more people, more excited. And it was also the sorts of people and the types of conversations I think are evolving and changing. Obviously loads of marketers paying for their ticket with their own money, which is always impressive. Lots of work being done in terms of inclusivity and representation. Evidently still more to be done, but that's got to be a good thing.
David, you were a bit underwhelmed. What was one of your words at the start? So your takeaway of the whole week?
Just by some of the Grand Prix, really, underwhelms what I was thinking. Other than that, it was a great week. It really was. I still think it's a fantastic festival. I think it's great. I think it's worth going. I think it is inspiring, to use Rahat's word. I really do believe that. Just something was a little bit off on the Grand Prix. There's probably four or five that I was not sure about. And there was nothing that really stunned me the way there usually is. But on the whole, it was great. It was great for Canada. Canada had a fantastic festival, 66 Lions. Get in, you mentioned Agency of the Year, Network of the Year, but Independent Agency and Independent Network of the Year went to Rethink. And Rethink was second on the agency list, too, just behind Publicis Conseil. So Rethink, I think, ended up with 24 Lions, and I think some other New York as well. So I think they're 26 or 27 Lions. So it was a great year to watch Rethink. And Click Health. Click Health also broke through. They won 8 Lions, including a Grand Prix. So it was great for Canada.
Yeah, good points. Rahat, so your overall feel for the week?
Yeah, it was a good one to go back to my previous words. I think what was really interesting was Accenture Song also taking home the film Grand Prix. I mean, having been in that side of the world before, I've been sort of saying for a long time that the management consultancies are making a pivot into this area, and Accenture has definitely had first mover advantage there. But to see Accenture Song pick up that Grand Prix it's an interesting inflection point for the industry, because the traditional players now are competing against a very different subset of agencies for the same awards that they were once competing with. And I also spoke about diversity in my very first podcast, and I think the Ogilvy win, again, is a great nod to that. So for me, it's come really full circle, and I am genuinely interested to see what happens next year, and I'm really looking forward to what Cannes 2025 can hold.
Well, the final word goes to Alison, given that it's still breakfast time in New York and she's got jet lag, but you're sounding very perky for it. Your takeaway for the week?
I would agree with Maisie that it felt like it was back, like pre-pandemic back. Everyone sort of forgot. Had a little amnesia about the last 4 years, and that's kind of why one of my words was deja vu. It felt like almost like 2019 Cannes. I think that, like Maisie, I had a lot of fringe commercial events as well, which is great. It does feel a little bit too spread out. Like, I almost wish there was more of a center of gravity at the Palais and people sort of really getting engaged in the work, because I do think, to your point, Gideon, about entries being down but delegates being up, it's sort of becoming more of a global meeting place for advertising, media, technology, marketing, versus what's happening in the Palais and the awards is almost like becoming a sideshow. So I just think that's an interesting like parallel to what's happening with the creative agencies right now, how their businesses are doing and where the money's going in advertising.
Well, that's a good way to end. And I just want to say thank you very much, each of you, for taking part in this, and all of our colleagues who were in Cannes and, of course, are back in England because they were doing the production and editing. So Maisie, Rahat, Alison and David, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And if you want to read more about Cannes Lions and all the other news we've been discussing, please visit our websites, campaignlive.co.uk, campaignlive.com in the US, campaigncanada.ca and campaignasia.com. And a final reminder, we're running a special event in London, Cannes Download, on the morning of the 27th of June. We will have Cannes jurors, including Frankie Goodwin, Harjit Singh, Sue Yuniman, talking about and analysing the winning work. And who knows, maybe a little bit of questioning as well, given this seems to have been a theme of our podcast today. You can buy tickets at can-download.campaignlive.co.uk. If you enjoyed this episode of the Campaign Podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. The Campaign Podcast has been produced and edited by Till Owen and Nav Powell from Haymarket Business Media. Thank you for listening, and on behalf of all of the campaign teams around the world, goodbye.